The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and are based solely on their personal experiences and interpretations. Nothing shared in this podcast should be understood as a factual claim about any identifiable individual. Any references to relationships, past events, or personal history are intentionally nonspecific and are not meant to describe or comment on any particular person. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, therapeutic, or clinical advice. Listeners should consult appropriate professionals for guidance related to their specific circumstances. Hey folks, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to The Human Show. My name is Trish, and I am a mom, a certified adult chair life coach, and an evolving human like you. And my intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by helping to expand the emotional intelligence of as many people as possible. I am here to hold space and share wisdom in support of your personal evolution. I know the path can sometimes be dark, so let's carry a light for each other and find our way. Here we go. Hey folks, thanks for being here. I am talking about woo these days, and I'm excited to have a really cool guest who I consider to be an expert in the woo. So welcome to the show, Corby Mitlide.
It's great to be here.
So before we get into it, I have your bio, which I will include in the show notes. What I would love is if you would just share a little bit about what you would like listeners to know about you today.
Okay. I am sort of rebranded not only as Corby Mitlide, but known as the No Bullshit Psychic. What does that mean? That means we're not fluffy bunny here. We're not glurpy purple with angels. We're, you know, you want the stuff? Here's the stuff. The other thing is I tell people all the time, I'm not special. You can do what I do. And that's important because that keeps the difference between a mentor and a guru. And I do not want to be a guru for anybody.
Got it. And my first question was going to be to talk about the No Bullshit Psychic. So You already did it. You must have read my mind. Because
people need it. They do. And the funny part was, you know, people had been banging on me for a long time about, you should be on TikTok. You should be on TikTok. And I did not want to be one of the 72 million readers who is, you know, full of goth makeup and you're doing this and, you know, your bracelets are rattling. I'm sorry, but I'm 70. I am just me. I've been doing this for so long, since I was 18. Been there, done that, sold a franchise. Kids, there is nothing that would surprise me. So if I can just be what looks like a normal person to you and still give you the information, in this world today, I think that's going to be of a lot more use.
Oh, absolutely. Agreed. And can I just say, you look fabulous, my dear.
Two magic words. No children. Takes 10 years off your looks right there. Besides, I'm doing what I love. I'm not slaving away for somebody else in a job I can't stand. I did that before I did this full time. My last job was working for a woman who had a small boutique executive recruiter firm who threw files at my head when she didn't like what I told her. No, haven't done that in almost a quarter century. And I am so glad.
Yeah, I would think a job like that would age you for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm glad you talked about being a no bullshit psychic and you don't want to be a guru. Because what I think is, thanks to movies and TV, a lot of people have this idea of a psychic or a medium as this woman in this little dark room with flowy gown and maybe a head wrap. And like you said, jangly bracelets, jangly earrings, a crystal ball on this little tiny table and beaded curtains.
Madame Rosa on the marvelous Mrs. Maisel right there. No, we're not.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm really hoping to, you know, make people aware of the fact that, guess what? They're just regular people just like us, you know, like celebrities, they're just like us. Well, guess what? So are psychics and mediums and channels. They're still humans. They still do all the human things. It makes it a lot more digestible and relatable and not so foreign. I think for people,
Exactly.
it seems very foreign and out there, and it's really not.
You know, we do have a right to use what I call the Elton John name. What does that mean? Well, Elton John's real name is Reg Dwight. Doesn't have the same zazz as Elton John. So Corby Midlight is a chosen name. Corby is Gaelic for raven. It reminds, you know, they're my peeps. Really wonderful magical energy in ravens. And Mitleid is German for compassion, and that reminds me why I'm doing the work. My legal name, I did used to read under that in the very beginning, but I would get calls at 3:30 in the morning from drunks asking whether their wife is gone or they could shag the woman down the street because she was hot. No. Now it's you've got my Elton John name and my cell phone, which goes off at 9 o'clock at night, and it's a lot saner.
Okay. Well, you said you've been doing this since you were 18, so I'm curious.
Osmosis was in diapers.
I'm curious when you realized you had these abilities. Like, were you a kid and messages were coming to you, or what did that look
Now,
like?
a little simpler. When I was nine, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes, and I thought, ooh, there's magic in the world. I want to go find it. In 1973, when I was a senior in high school, that was the year Live and Let Die came out with Jane Seymour as the card reader. And I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it because we were all hippies then. We had our elephant bell bottoms and our fringe jacket like David Crosby in our deck. So that was the beginning. We were all reading then. As other people moved away from it, I was finding I loved the cards and what they could tell me and how I could work with them. So in that sense, I morphed into it when I was 18. For 20 years, I just read cards, but all the time for friends, learning how to keep my ego out of the way and the message straight. After 20 years, the universe figured I'd done enough boot camp and they handed me my draft notice and said, hello, you're working for us. And all of a sudden, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when I hung my shingle out part-time. Full-time started on 9/11. As we watched the towers burn, I turned to my husband and I said, I need to do the psychic work full time. People need to know there are other answers out there. He said, I believe in you, go do it. So for one more year, I worked for the woman who threw balls at my head. But in 2002, I said goodbye to corporate and have never looked back. And I worked 6 to 7 days a week. I read about 1,000 people a year. Before COVID, I was on the road 45 weekends a year. My nickname is the Travel Channel. This is life for me, and it's frankly one of the other reasons that I look the way I do, because every day I get up with purpose and I get to get up in the morning. I don't have to get up in the morning. That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing what you love, like you said,
Yes.
which is incredible. So, you mentioned your husband, and it sounds like he's been super supportive. When did you two meet?
We met, more metaphysics. We met in 1991. I was actually engaged to another guy, but this was at the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome in Rhinebeck, New York. And I had no interest in planes. I didn't know anything about World War I. I was terrified of Germans because my father was with the occupation army in Vienna. But while there, I saw some World War I German planes flying, and that burst open a past life at that time as a German pilot. My husband has been part of the flying community since he was a kid. So we met there. And if I hadn't had an interest in World War I, we probably wouldn't have gotten together. He and I met years afterwards when I had moved back up to New York from Atlanta. I was divorced. And at that point, it just meshed. And the universe was saying, this one is the one you're going to need if you're going to be doing the other work. Because the other two guys, no. Massive egos. It was all about them. They were not supportive of who I was or what I did. This one, yes. Even though we're totally different. He was a museum director for 23 years, dealing in verifiable historical fact. I deal in wiki woo. But we have mutual respect for each other's talents, and that's why we can be mutually supportive.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Thanks for sharing the story. Something else I wanted to ask you about was is your father. So I read in one of your books, you mentioned, let's see if I get this right, that he taught you to remain eternally unfinished. And I love that
You
line,
always
and
ask
I
the next
wanted you
question.
to talk a little bit about that.
All right. Dad was my best friend. He and I shared the same birthday. I was his 34th birthday present. And for my first 4 years, I was convinced I came in a box with ribbons. You couldn't tell me any different. He was the only one in the family who really got who I was. I mean, my stepmother did afterwards, but dad was it. And when my mother died in 1984, Dad remarried Shirley a year later, and all of a sudden my father blossomed because his first marriage with my mother had been terribly, terribly hard. But he was a poet. He looked at the world through Lauren Isley. I mean, if you breathe in an atom, it could be an atom that was breathed in by Ben Franklin. Energy always stays. So always asking the next question means you don't keep your mind shut. To the day he died, there was a part of his mind that was open for new information to come in.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. How amazing to have that kind of support because.
Well, that's part of pre-birth planning, which gets into the work I did with Robert Schwartz on his book series. But dad's soul and mine usually come in same generation as best friends. But this time, with a pre-birth plan that my soul was setting up, which was very difficult, very crowded, it knew I would need a best friend as a father. So the soul of my father agreed, instead of coming in best friend this time, we would do the father-daughter thing so I would have that support.
So how do you know about this pre-birth plan? Tell me about this. I've never heard of this.
Well, doing the work with Robert Schwartz, his book series, Your Soul's Plan, Your Soul's Gift, Your Soul's Love. We learned that karma is not just bad and good. Karma is basically five things: healing, service, contrast, unbalanced energy, and healing of beliefs. And when you look at life that way, it opens things up wildly. And I use the example of Ryan White. Ryan White was the kid who got AIDS from a blood transfusion back in the late 80s. And we knew very little about AIDS then, so he was treated as a pariah. He had to fight to be able to go to school. His family was really treated awfully. But, and here comes Elton. Elton John somehow became friends with a family and very close, basically adopted them. When Ryan died at age 18, Elton played at his funeral. He so inspired Elton that Elton got off drugs, booze. And then, once he was clean, started the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which has raised over $500 million for HIV and AIDS researches and cures around the world. Now, in the old days, you might think Ryan White, bad karma, what a horrible person he must have been. But working with the understanding that Rob has, Ryan's soul said, well, short life, tough one, but look what can result from it. So we say that he had a karma of service. See how differently that makes you look at things. Now, what about what's happening in the world now? It needs to be a reset. In fact, I just did a reading on it this morning with my fairies oracle deck. The whole point is we are at a point of birth. Much about the world, United States particularly, needs to go by the wayside. And labor is tough. Ask any woman, in the middle of it, she probably wants to get her husband with a rusty butter knife. Don't do this to me again. But then you've got the kid. And that's where we are now. I believe my generation will not see the good flowering. That's going to be millennials, Gen Zs, Gen Alphas. But if you understand you're part of the birthing process, you can deal with what's going on without the doominess gloom, the God hates us, blah, 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 blah. Labor is tough, but what comes after is wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful for a lot of people, I think, to be able to shift their perspective because it feels like a lot of doom and gloom some days. So appreciate your perspective on it. So something I'm curious about is so people who have crossed over, they communicate through you.
Yeah, dead people. Oh, dead
Okay,
people.
dead people. Okay. Is this something that would this happen when you're, passing by someone at the grocery store, or is it only when you're tuned in and you're like, hey, I'm ready to hear it for this
Well, it
person?
can. If some people stay wide open. Me, I have an agreement with my guides. I have an open sign and a closed sign, and I will only do readings. Three conditions. Number one, this is a paid reading, and you sit down with me. Number two, it's a barter. You give me a chicken. Three, it's pro bono, and I choose to gift it to you, because otherwise, it can be too much like a drive-by psychic shooting. Now, what's that? Let's use Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, as the example. You're in Wegmans and you're feeling up a cantaloupe to see if it's ripe. And she walks up to you and says, "Excuse me, your Aunt Dora, she has a message for you. The back tire is bald and you're going to have a car accident and die in a week if you don't fix it." Just telling you, when she walks away. People see that and think that's what happens. No. Here's the truth about that. Her PR people went out and scouted out all the Wegmans on Long Island and chose one. Made arrangements with the general manager and the regional office. Then they interview a whole bunch of people and have them sign model releases, and then they rehearse it six times. But there are a lot of psychics who think that gives them license to walk up to perfect strangers and start spouting information. No, you don't know me from Adam's house cat. How do you know anything I'm saying is right? You haven't established any kind of a rapport. You didn't choose this. Somebody just came at you with it. So that's why I counsel my clients. If that happens, you just go, "I do not want the information and I don't accept it." And if they keep insisting, you find the manager and you tell them you're being harassed. Anybody who is a true professional knows better. For instance, the spiritualist at Lilydale, one of the most famous spiritual communities in the US, and they get lots of dead people. But they would come up to you and say, "Excuse me, my name is Reverend Susan, and I am a spiritualist from Lilydale. I believe I have a message for you. May I come to you?" That's the magic phrase. If you say yes, they'll deliver the message. If you say no, please don't, they will not, and they will walk away knowing that if you really need that message, spirit will get it to you in another way when you're ready. So I'm telling people, don't deal with that. Same thing at psychic fairs. I mean, I get it all the time. I'm an A-lister, which means I read from doors open to doors closed. And by the end of the day, when I'm bent over my cards, my neck hurts, and I do this. And I guarantee there is some rookie, call her little dancing raccoon, and she comes over and says, "Oh, I know Reiki, I can help." "No, please don't. Really, I'm good at it. I prefer you not. Let me just back off." And they get very upset and go, "You're not very love and light, are you?" And I go, "Well, you didn't listen. I'm from New York. Don't screw with me." But that's the whole thing. After a half a century of this, I know how much my energy will absorb from a healer. If I don't know you, you don't get near me. And that's why people don't trust psychics. Every time that happens, remember the old story of one oh dam ruins 10 attic girls. So our job, those of us who are professionals, want to be professionals, are to respect the boundaries of our clients. We are not the be all and end all. They need a message. Somehow the universe will get it to them.
Yeah, because I'm sure that there are people who have visited a psychic or a medium and they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. And then they leave and say, oh, she was a bad psychic or she didn't know what she was doing. And it's like exactly what you're saying now.
Or they run into the Madam Hoo-Ha's or the Swami Swalandas. I'm grabbing something. This is why I wrote my second book years ago. Canada, 250 booths at the psychic fair. And as good as those promoters were, they couldn't vet everybody. So there was a woman walking down the aisle, and she was looking at everything. And from across the way, one of the fake gypsies comes out and grabs her arm. Now, that is called hooking, and it's as bad as the other kind of hooking. But the fake gypsy said, "Oh no, you no need to pay $30, $40, $50. I need your palm for 10. Come." Drags the woman into her booth behind a screen. 20 minutes later, we see the woman leaving, crying hysterically, and a bunch of us roll out of our booths and walk over to her and say, "What happened?" The gypsy had said, "Oh, you have a family curse. How many in your family? Four. You have dog. $50 every family member, 25 for a dog. He's small. We fix." told the woman if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church, I bless real good, only $1 candle. Her entire family was going to die in a car accident in 2 weeks, and she bought it.
Oh no.
Thus, this book, The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, How to Find the Real Wizards and Avoid the Flying Monkeys. This is not a book that tells you how to be a psychic. There are 6,000 of those. This is one that says, this is what we can do, what we can't, what kind of questions you should ask, what you shouldn't, when to run. And I don't care if you never come to me. If after that book, you go and you find an intuitive and you feel safe and you get a good reading, I did my job because all boats rise.
Yeah, I read the book and it was so great because it's really clear and simple and useful information, and just like how you work, it's no bullshit. And
Thank you. Did you leave a review on Amazon? Please,
I
this is a
will.
PSA, guys. If you get a book that is self-published, until Amazon gets 50 reviews, they hide us in the back shelf behind the pickles.
Oh,
So your
geez.
reviews from us are for us are so important. Please, please, please do it.
Okay. Yes, I will also add that in the show notes.
Thank
I
you.
will tell people about it because I thought it was such a great handbook and such a great resource for someone
There
who's
isn't anything
interested.
else like that out there.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, I thought it was, I was like, oh, this is really great information. Now, I've talked to a few channels in my day, so this is something I'm open to and already, but there was really some useful information in there, even for me, and things to look out for. And what I really appreciated was how you talked about, like I just mentioned, you may go into a session and something's not coming through, or you want to talk to this person who's dead and nothing's coming through. And I think you said, sometimes they're just not available. Sometimes they're just not called. They're
Basically,
not
yeah,
there,
if Aunt Rose is on a field trip, she won't be by the phone. That's the line.
Right. And I think it's really important to point out that, and it's something your book does, that this is not a reflection on the abilities of your practitioner. Just because you happen to be available at 10 a.m. on Tuesday doesn't mean that, like you said, Aunt Rose is also available at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. So,
And remember, they are doing so many things we cannot even contemplate because we're these little pea brains right now. And your soul and their soul have already been talking upstairs because our souls are so huge, they can't fit in these little bitty bodies. So a little bit comes down. So it could just be that you're like the kindergartner goes, Mom, 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 and Mom is busy right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
I'm afraid it is.
Who said that? 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 Who said that?
This is what I call my personal motto. And it is a quote from Robert Heinlein's book, Time Enough for Love. In life, moderation is for monks. Take big bites.
I love it. Okay. I would venture to say you are taking some big bites. So what are some, let's talk about some challenges that you've encountered as being a, because you are still a human with all of these abilities. And I find, like many, a lot of the human shit is just really hard. And if you are someone who is connected, sometimes it can really get in the way. But you know, it's also part of our journey. We're here to have a human experience. So, what are some of the big challenges that you've had to kind of move through? And I would imagine they were when you were younger, starting out this business, but
Not necessarily.
okay.
In my life, I had been through three bouts of breast cancer, two divorces, rape, poverty, and abuse, and I'm still here because I've learned that it's all about the examined life. Now, what's that? You always ask yourself the three most important questions in the world. And when I was younger, I didn't know how to do this, but in retrospect, that's how I have unplugged the charge from the other things that happened. What are my X about? X is whatever your emotion is. Why am I X about that? And the question we never ask ourselves, what do I think would happen if I stopped being X about that? Okay. Sorry, we've got lots of cat fur in the air. That's why I keep doing this. Let's take my third bout of breast cancer in 2004. I had just finally gotten married to the right guy 18 months before. And this was the second primary. It turns the danger clock back to zero. But the doctors in Boston said, well, three strikes, you're out. So we're taking the rack, we're taking the ovaries, and you're going from this Dolly Parton figure with a libido of a 17-year-old boy to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects, and we're going to ruin you so much internally you'll never have sex again. Suck it up. Now, I went home and cried for 24 hours, of course, but then I knew I had to find the right questions, and I had to find three reasons to be okay with it. So I said, okay, number one, you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. Number two, the top half is not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year, and every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about with that. And three, implants, I'll be perky till I'm 93. 6 hour double mastectomy and reconstruction, got out of Mass General in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in five. Our marriage is not what we thought it was going to be, but we're still married and we work on it. And it got me out of the way because I used to be a 44 triple D, tiny waisted hips, and nobody thought about me anything except what I looked like, which made life terribly difficult. So looking normal, you look at me now and you would never figure that that was anything like it. It's given me room to move out of my own grief and work with other people. It all worked. Now, next time, if I come back as a girl, maybe I can keep the rack, but this time I made the best of it.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And that is a quite a list. Talking about
Well,
challenges.
trust me, I don't do things by halves. I never have.
Yeah, I can tell. Wow. So you've written several books. So far I've read the one. Can you just mention the others?
Yep, I can.
Okay.
I can even show you.
All right.
This one, Clarity, Adaptability, Simplicity, and Making Friends with Stress. But I don't tell you do everything. I tell you when it all gets better because I haven't lived your life. I remember the very first self-help book I ever read when I was 13 in 1968. And the first paragraph was, remember, this is 1968. Judy has a groovy wardrobe. Her makeup is fab and her hair is far out. But nobody likes Judy because Judy's fat. Right in that first paragraph, hundreds of thousands of American teenage girls were told, you are freaking worthless unless you're thin. Nothing else matters. And self-help books tend to do that. In mine, it's different. It's here's some of the dumb things I did. Maybe here's a client story. Here are some suggestions. But at the end of each chapter, there are questions for you to answer that can only be answered from your own life. So you understand what you know. Quick example, the chapter, How Perfect a Story is Good. Where do you beat yourself up most often? Why? Reimagine one of those times with the idea that good can triumph over perfect. What does it look like now? How would your life change if you stopped thinking perfection was the only correct response to a project or situation? The other one is just, I said I was on the road for what, 18, 20 years. Why should you have to reinvent the wheel? So that is, you've got the magic, who needs a genie? Every single thing I learned being on the road, including some things that you're not going to find in another business book. For instance, there are some things in here called Corby Gets Candid. And one of them is explaining why I always have a sign-in sheet that people have to do handwriting with. Years ago in London, Ontario, I read a young man who did not like what I said and told me. The next morning, I found an anonymous death threat on my table. We were able to match up the handwriting with the death threat and the handwriting on the sign-in sheet, and I turned it over to the Ontario police. This is not kumbaya, guys. I have had rotten vegetables thrown at me as I walked into psychic fairs, and now with Christian nationalism, there could be crosshairs. You have to protect yourself. So not only is it how to design your booth, how to dress, and how to choose your front person, but how to stay safe.
So that last book you just showed is more for that's geared toward people who are practitioners and people who are developing their
Yes.
skills, right?
Yes, that is,
Yeah.
if you want to go on a show circuit, if you want to do this publicly,
Yeah.
here you go. And it
Okay.
is not just psychics, it's also vendors, healers, anybody who works on the wiki-woo side of the aisle.
Yeah, okay. So I know you do tarot readings, and it sounds like tarot cards was kind of how you first got into this world. So is that most, would you say that's most of your sessions, or is it pretty good mix of
It depends on
everything?
what people want to know. I mean, they come to me for four things: the everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids, finances. Okay, God, you put me here. What the hell? Past lives. Why do I love Victorian China? Why am I afraid of eating oatmeal? Why do I have this thing about Peru? I'm Scots-Irish. I want to talk to my spirit guide, Binky, and has dead Aunt Mabel. That's what it is. So it depends on what you come to me with for the tools. As well as tarot, I have seven different oracle decks that I use. I also have a deck for children, and that's important if you do this kind of work in a public setting. For instance, let's say you are working at a psychic fair and the woman could not find a babysitter for a little 2-year-old Muffin. And Muffin is sitting on her lap going, "Mommy card, mommy card, mommy card." She's like, "Oh, Corby, will you just let her pull a card and she'll be happy." If you don't have a children's deck, all you have is tarot, what are you going to do with this? "Look, Muffin, Dad, Muffin's going to have nightmares." So no, I have a children's deck called the Cat Wisdom that has little kittens and squirrels and puppies. And little one can pull a card and it says, "Watch your diet." And that's, "Don't eat too many lollipops." And then you go back and you read mom. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. But past lives, spirit guides, angels, dead people, that's all direct channeling.
And you, but you also do this virtually, right?
Oh yeah, I have not been on the road really since 2020. The funny thing is, spirit kept saying, "We'd like you to work at home, please." And I kept going, no, because being on the road as often as I was, I loved walking into Hilton brand hotels and getting the "We're Not Worthy" because I was a Hilton Diamond. So they made a point by giving me a herniated disc and pinched nerve in the summer of 2019, which does make having triplets feel like a tea party. 4 months later, I was pretty much 80% back, but the doctor said, "Your career is over. I'm sorry. You'll never be able to take those 10-hour drives again, and you can't load in and load out. You can't lift." So in 4 months, I scrambled to get my business completely online. And what happened at that point but the advent of the years of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer? Everyone who was still just on circuit, their business tanked. I have always just kept it going. And at 70, yeah, I would prefer to read at home, not travel so much.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like what you're saying is someone comes into you with maybe I want to talk to Uncle Joe, or I keep getting these urges to, I don't know, call my ex from 10 years ago and what's going on. And then so you hear their issues, and then you decide what you're gonna, if you're gonna pull out a deck
Which
or
tool?
if you're
You
gonna,
know, a
okay.
doctor hears that you're fatigued, and it could be that he takes a blood test, or it could be that he checks your diet, or what tools is he going to use? It's the same thing. So basically, when you sit down with me, the first thing I'm going to say is, what is the most important thing you want to get out of your knowing? And if you go blank on me, I'll go Brooklyn on you and go, "Darling, what's biting your butt?" Because that everybody can pick something. And then we move from there.
Okay. So how long is a session? About an hour?
No, it could be 5 minutes if you have a burning question, or a soul plane reading, which is something that I work with the same as I did in Robert Schwartz's books. That is 12 hours of deep trance meditation, and then you're on the phone with me for an hour as I tell you what I got. But that's a luxury reading. You do not need that. General readings can be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. If you've never had a reading with me, I discourage more than 30 minutes because you have no idea how fast I go, baby, but I am fast. When you read roughly 1,000 people a year, it's like going to the gym every day. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay. So if someone came to you and they're new, they've never done this, so they're just like, "Hey, I
I'm
just want
very
to,
nice to rookies. I am.
I just want to see what this is about. I'm not sure what to ask for. I'm not sure what I need." That's when you would kind of ask them what's bothering you right now,
Because
right?
if they say, I don't know, just tell me anything you see," they're not going to get enough out of it. Because if this is your encyclopedia, I'm fast, but even in an hour, I might only get to volume M. And if what you really wanted was at S, you're going to walk out there and say, "Oh, she didn't tell me anything. She was lousy." So, you know, you don't walk into a doctor and say, "I don't know, I just don't feel good. Fix it." He takes a history.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. Just, figure something out. Tell me what you see. Yeah, I feel like that is that seems like it's pretty common. People aren't really sure what to ask, or they might even be afraid. Because I think often people are afraid to hear the truth. So, and
That is why I have the first two chapters of Yellow Brick Road in a little ebook called Psychic Answers. And if I find out somebody is a rookie, I generally send that to them because it'll tell them what we can and cannot do and how to formulate the questions.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So if someone reached out, they wanted a session and they said, I never did this before, you would send them that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
After they made the session, yes, I don't just discriminately throw it out to people.
Sure. Yeah. But I think that's really helpful and probably, saves a little time once you get into it. So that's really helpful. So if people want to, oh, you know what? I know you also have a podcast, right?
I did.
You did. Okay. You did.
Yeah, I mean, you can still find it on my website, but it was a great deal of money for maybe 30 listeners, and I would rather be on a podcast. Where they can find me is these days I'm doing TikTok, but it's not just readings, it's visualizations, it's how to look at the world, it's useful information. So that's where you really want to go, is find me on TikTok and look for the No Bullshit Psychic.
Okay. And I know you have a YouTube channel. I watch some of your stuff there. Is that something you're active on? Would you encourage people
Yes.
to check that out?
Yes, if I do interviews, they're always posted there.
Okay.
I usually put some of the TikTok stuff up on there. I do lives on YouTube. So yeah, those are the two best places to find me, unless you want to book a reading, in which case, yes, go right to my website.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if someone thinks that they are have some of these abilities and maybe they want to get started, what would you say to someone who's like, I don't know where to start? I think I can connect. I think I, okay.
Go right here. This is the book I learned with
Okay.
30, 40 years ago.
Opening to
Opening to
Channel.
Channel by the late Sanaya Roman and Duane Packard. They were wonderful. And the reason I love that is it's very tab A into slot B instructions, and it helps keep you safe. You will learn what is a real spirit guide and angel, what isn't, what's your ego. And you need to learn how to ground, center, and shield and connect. Then you're ready to, it's like, English bio 101, freshman first semester college, then you can choose your major.
Yeah. And I think, and like you said at the beginning, anyone can do this.
You
And,
can. You can.
and I think a big part of it, like you've mentioned ego a few times, and
Yeah.
I think that's the hard thing for most of us is getting the ego out of the way. And, when I talk about intuition, it's a lot about that. It's like you got to shut off the noise for a minute if you want to be able to hear anything. And I think that's probably a challenge for most people.
And you also have to accept that some people will not get the message, even if you know it's right. Quick Canadian story. I read for a client in Kitchener, Ontario. I usually go up there 3 times a year. And there was some challenging information that I gave her. And she looked at me and she said, "You suck." And she walks away. Okay, fine. Next time I'm up there, she's the first person in my chair. She says, "Last time I said you sucked." I said, "Yes, I remember. Because you told me that I was probably going to take in a boarder and then I would want to sell my house. And I thought that was all bull. But my daughter got pregnant and moved home. And now I'm going to sell my house to help raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you see." Don't shoot the messenger, guys. And
I'm glad you said
what you
that.
do in the beginning when you're not sure, if you get a hit, you write it down. You write down whether you listened or you didn't. And you will be able to go back and see when you were right, when you were wrong, if you have a certain direction that you're always right in, children, dogs, dead people, whatever it is.
Yeah, all right. That's good advice. Thanks for that.
And I'm going to tell you, these days, don't trust your computer with it, because you never know what's going to happen with that information. You get a book and you write it down, old fashioned.
Yeah. Well, this has been great and super informative. And yeah, for real, like you're the real deal. No bullshit. So
Thank you.
it was great to talk to you. And anything, any parting words you'd like to leave everyone with?
Yeah, get started now. The world is crazy enough that we'll be needed. The other thing I'm going to remind you is I'm 70, kids. I'm not going to be here in 30 years. The next generation needs to start learning and stepping up into their own power, because you will be needed as we move forward.
Yes, thank you for that. I so appreciate your time. Thank you for joining me today.
It was fun.
This was really great, really great. And to everyone listening, you are enough, just as you are, and you are loved. Make a great day. Hey, before you go, if you enjoy The Human Show, you can help me spread the word by sharing it and leaving a review. Thank you.